Will you please pray with me again the collect of the day, very appropriate for Confirmation Sunday. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We consider the text from 1 Corinthians today under the theme of first importance. Number one, the best, the most popular, the most important. It seems to be one of our greatest desires to either be number one, or at least to know or to like what is number one. To root for the best team. To know the coolest people. To be able to do the latest TikTok trend, right? To be the best. Or at least be associated with the best. We want to know and understand the most important things in life, at least as defined by the world as it is now. Problem is, number one seems to constantly change, doesn't it? The best is only best for a day, a year, a season or two, and then something or someone else takes its place. What's popular in one time is often quickly forgotten, at least by the next generation. I mean, songs like The Twist and Mac the Knife used to top the Billboard music charts. In my teen years, it was songs like The Macarena and Smooth. These days, it's songs like Old Town Road and Savage. And yes, I did have to Google that for the purposes of this sermon. Even international wonders and perhaps timeless things like The Beatles, while they may still have name recognition, how many of my generation or younger have their songs at the top of their playlists? Not too many, I'll be honest. Post Malone. Billie Eilish are more popular these days, and other groups have come and gone and will continue to come and go. Go into any area of life and it can be the same. In sports, it's only people of my age that barely remember the Nebraska Cornhuskers as a football, college football juggernaut. Worst to first, and first to worst stories are popular in sports unless you're the Minnesota Vikings and then you don't get any of that, right? And how many people today will sit through movies like Gone with the Wind, Casablanca, or Dances with Wolves when there's movies like Avengers Endgame out there? Am I right? Even our relationships, number one, the most important, can seem to change or ebb and flow, whether in reality or in perception. When we're little children, we know mom and dad are number one. In the teen and college years, maybe we still know how important our parents are, but our friends begin to take on much more importance. Someday down the line, by God's grace, you meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright, and according to God's word, even that relationship now takes priority over all others. But then kids and grandkids come around, perhaps, and they take a special place in our hearts as well. Time, place, age. So many different factors influence what's number one, what's the best, what's most popular or most important. It's constantly changing. And maybe Noah and Natalie, you see this already in your own lives. So can we be surprised that these days so many people find the same thing to be true about Jesus and the Christian faith? Oh, people will say, maybe they were perhaps good for a time, maybe better than what came before, but now we need to move beyond, or so the thinking goes. If we're going to progress as humanity, we will maybe keep the things of Jesus and the Bible that seem to help, but we'll discard the ideas that we think are holding us back. Christianity, after all, can't claim to be all that special. It's just one of many world religions that need a little bit of human help to learn to get along better, right? That's the world we live in these days. Maybe it's the world we've always lived in, but it's just a bit clearer now. Stand firm on your Christian convictions. confess your faith boldly and confidently, speak clearly the truths of God's word, and maybe you can say goodbye to any aspirations of being the most popular number one or the best in the eyes of the world. I'm not here to bemoan that fact, far from it. But I do think we need to confess our faith these days with your eyes wide open, that to confess Christ clearly is to give up something in the eyes of the world. It's true what Jesus said in Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Now, he was talking specifically about money and possessions in that context, but the same holds true of anything we crave and desire above following Jesus. Whether that's popularity or a good reputation, comfort and ease, even pursuing our own dreams and passions in selfish ways. If we're going to serve God and confess the name of Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised or complain about what we might have to give up in this life, what we might have to give up in the eyes of the world. It happened to Jesus that way. Palm Sunday was a traditional date of confirmation in many churches, and in some places it still is. And on Palm Sunday, we think of the crowds shouting as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel! I think maybe sometimes Palm Sunday was chosen because of that confession, the acclamation of the crowd, the idea of making a similar confession. It's actually, in that way, if that was the reason it was attached to that Sunday, a bit ironic. Because the crowds had the right words on Palm Sunday. Jesus was the Son of David. He is the Messiah. He is the one coming in the name of the Lord to save and rescue them and all people. They had the right words. But unfortunately, it seems they didn't have the right meaning. When the residents of Jerusalem asked who this Jesus was, the confession fell far short. This is the prophet, Jesus, was the reply. Was Jesus just a prophet? No, right? Far from it. And so by the end of the week, by the day we call Good Friday, this crowd was silent and invisible, or became part of the crowd that turned on Jesus for not being who they thought he should be and not doing what they thought he should do as their Messiah and King. So when the world asks us to move on from Jesus, give up part of our faith so we can become the best or number one or the most important, well, that shouldn't be strange to us. Jesus asks nothing of us that he didn't already bear himself for you and for your salvation. Jesus was willing to become the worst, public enemy number one, and the least important so that he could save you. So that he would go to the cross to be your savior from sin and death, so that you could be his sisters and brothers in the faith, so that he could redeem you from the power of the devil, so that you could enjoy his eternal love and protection. And so, confirmants, Noah and Natalie, despite what the world around us, despite what our own sinful thoughts and feelings would have us believe, the faith you confess today is of first importance. It is the number one thing to believe because it is the good news, the best news in all the world. It may not always be the most popular, but it is always the most important. It is an old faith. It is an ancient faith, and many other so-called number ones and most importants have come and gone since these events happened. But unlike yesteryear's billboard hits and box office wonders and YouTube sensations, this faith is still of primary importance because it is eternally important. It will never change because it speaks of the one who will never change. And we heard it already, but I invite all of you, so the whole congregation, I invite all of you to take out your bulletins and find the epistle reading for today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to start a couple lines into it where it says, for I delivered to you. I'll get my says, "For I have delivered to you." We're going to start and we're going to read that all together when I find my copy, so we're reading the same thing. All right. We'll read from there until I give us the signal to stop. We read together, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." Thank you. That is of first importance, primary importance, both for the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago, for us now as God's people, and for all generations to come. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus is risen and living. And we know this is true because he appeared to people, lots of people, had more than 500 people at one time, saw Jesus alive. We can believe their testimony. Later on, we'll confess even more about Jesus in the Apostles' Creed, but the basics of the faith are here in 1 Corinthians. Jesus died for your sins. He died because of your sins and in your place to save you from your sins. He took your sins on himself and took them to the grave with him. But then he also rose from the dead, leaving your sins in the grave to give you new life now and forever. And if that's not the best, the most important, the most wonderful thing ever, I don't know what possibly could be. So confirmants, Natalie and Noah, and to all God's people today, my encouragement to you is, and the encouragement of God's word, is to always hold this confession of faith you make today number one in your hearts, in your minds, in your soul, and your life. Your other personal number ones will change. The things you find most important in this life will be different 40 years from now, or if they don't change, they'll be passed up by other things in the eyes of this world. It doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy those things in some way. Not at all. In their proper place, they help you enjoy the life God has given you. They help you enjoy the relationships and the family and the friends that you have. They make wonderful memories with the things that you enjoy that are important to you. But the brightest stars today will one day fade away. I know this all too well. My favorite actor was Will Smith, and I know he hasn't made a good movie for about 20 years. Okay, the brightest stars fade away, but the brightest star, Jesus, never fades away. Hebrews 13:8 puts it this way: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel never changes. The light of Jesus never fades. The importance of Jesus for your eternal salvation and living God's way in this world will always be the most important thing. He was the most important thing then when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago. He's the most important thing now in your life as you receive him by word and sacrament. He'll be the most important thing forever as we live with him in eternity around his throne of grace. That's good news. That's the news that is of first importance now and always. In the name of Jesus, the Lord and Savior, amen.